Good morning, podcast audience. This is your podcaster, Ken Hodge, and welcome to a special edition of the KHP. I guess I'm just programmed to say good morning, but you should be hearing this for the first time at 6 o'clock in the evening on Wednesday, March 24th.
Why is that?
Because I'm not going to post it tomorrow morning. I'm going to post this as soon as we get done.
Well, just so everybody knows, I'm Jane Barnes, and I decided to be part of this postal podcast again because, as usual, I'm confused.
Well, and what I really appreciate or want to maximize on this subject is we're going to be talking about overtime, crossing crafts, and grievances, and who should get paid for the work or the grievances that are being filed. And I am glad Jane stopped by the studio because, when Jane comes on, I like to take it down to the basics. And to the union members who've been there, who read the contract, believe me, I'm not talking down because we try to get real basic and real simple when Jane's on the show, as I explain.
Wait a minute. I first just want to point out that I keep it basic. You still are who you are. I'm the one that brings you down. I pull
okay.
you down.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. And what we're going to talk about is Article 8, Crossing Crafts. And what made us do this show is I'm in the studio studying, and I'm reading about crossing crafts. And again, Jane became curious, and I think she asked me something
about crossing crafts and how you file a grievance. Was my first question. Who files the grievance when somebody, who's likely to file the grievance first?
Okay.
When somebody, yeah, because I didn't know.
Let's take it to the plant operations. Inside your plant operations, you've got mail handlers and you have clerks. APW, MPMHU. MPMHU. So, mail handlers, clerks. A job that is designated by the inventory to be a mail handler job. If a clerk performs that function, then the mail handler craft would file a grievance because someone other than a mail handler perform the work.
Well, here's a question I've never asked. Why would the clerk want to cross over?
Most of the time, they don't want to cross over. The supervisor just assigns them and tells them to go there. Very rare do you see crossing crafts where people want to go work out of their crafts.
Okay, so then what about you? Like now, sometimes does that happen too? As what happens more, crossing which craft? Who mail handlers?
No, it happens. It's more regular that you see clerks doing mail handler work.
Wait, can you explain one other thing regarding almost the same subject?
Yeah, sure.
So, clerks calling you for your job and telling you to come on in. That's happened, and you're like, and you've mentioned this on several occasions.
Yes, and again, there we have, in the post office, they went through great lengths to establish a union for every craft. Now, believe me, if you want to, and I really hope you do, mail handlers are not trying to give up any work to the clerks, and the clerks are not trying to give up any work to the mail handlers. Regardless of what you think. So, they've set it up that clerks and mail handlers run parallel to each other. They never crisscross.
Okay. So now, wait a minute. Just answer the question.
So, we have to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Okay, let's continue our conversation. Jane, what was your question about crossing crafts?
Okay, you know how you said, supervisor will initiate this and say, okay, you got to do this today, right? They'll tell a clerk, you got to go over there and do male handler work. They don't have a choice, right?
Right.
But wait a minute. Now you're telling me there is a choice. There is something in your rules and regulations that they're not supposed to do that. So then why can't that person just stand there and go, no, I'm not going over there. It's because here's what it says in article.
No. Okay. Now watch this. And I don't mean for this to be humorous, but many people have tried to do exactly what you said. No, I don't have to do this. It's not in my contract. Then there's another section in the contract that says you will follow all instructions unless it is going to put you in immediate danger or some safety violation. So the system is set up that they, being management, can direct you to violate contracts.
Okay, so then...
Wait, let me finish. But then it's set up that you get monetarily restitution. You file grievances and you get awarded money.
Okay.
But you have to follow the instructions. You can't sit there and say, it's against the contract,
so
I can't
there,
do it.
It's automatic and over and above all of those other articles, the...
Yes, you will do what the...
the company can do what... Or the,
yes.
Yeah. Can you have to do what they say?
Yes.
No matter what.
Doesn't
and if
matter.
You don't, and
yes.
Even if it means crossing crafts, that you
can be disciplined for fail to follow instructions.
By all means, take advantage of your union and your all of the things that pertain to your rights as a mail handler. That this guy came over and got to work next to me as a clerk.
And the best thing you're going to do with crossing craft is continue to file it relentlessly, and then management may ease up when the dollar amount attached to that grievance for crossing crafts get to be greater than they want it to be. Trust me when I tell you this, then they'll stop. But you can file a grievance. Sometimes management violates or cross crafts and they'll tell you they're going to do it. So they don't really care about the price tag that's coming with it. Sometimes due lack of any kind of an attempt at planning, they force themselves into having to cross crafts. So it happens. Unions just have to file grievances to get compensated for it. And it's going to continue to happen.
So then can I ask, how do you... Okay, so whoever is filing the grievance, which would be typically the mail handlers, and what? Just anybody? Anybody that works the craft?
Yes. If, all right, let me give you an example. Say a clerk comes over, does mail handler work. Any mail handler can file that grievance. And if I was in charge, that grievance would be filed pretty much by my union stewards. I'd make sure they're on top of that. But nonetheless, any mail handler can file a grievance. Now, just because you file the grievance doesn't always mean you're going to get paid for the grievance.
Okay, that's
contractually.
Right. Okay, so then how is it determined who does get paid?
Now, that's an interesting question. And the only stipulation when it comes to paying a grievance is if the union wins the grievance, management cannot tell the union who to pay. You know, if the union files for a grievance and they win the grievance, the union can pay who they want to pay and what they normally have set up. Now, there are variations to this, but normally what is set up is when you file a cross-craft grievance, to the best of my knowledge, and it's open for discussion, all monies paid will go to the overtime desire list. And the reason that will happen is, and I'll explain overtime desire list in a second. All monies paid will go to the overtime desire list, and it is divided amongst that list because my reading, my teaching teaches me if they are crossing crafts that would have been additional work for mail handlers to do, the overtime desire list is the only category of mail handler work that is guaranteed extra work if there is any. So with that understanding, I've always been under the impression or led to believe if there's a crossing craft grievance, it is paid at the time and a half rate, and it is always divided amongst the overtime desirers. Now, I understand people do other things, such as if you wrote the grievance, you should get paid for it. And let me tell you something. I think that that method is excellent because it's going to encourage people to write more grievances. And don't get me wrong, we're not seeking more grievances, but we're seeking for mail handlers to report more violations. So once the grievance is filed, union wins, union determines who gets paid. From the best of my knowledge, the union, at the local level, they can set up specific pay situations. But for the most part, cross-craft grievances are won by the union, and it is divided up amongst the overtime desireless and only the overtime desireless.
Well, so I guess what I don't understand is I don't understand why, number one, a person couldn't stand their ground.
Post office is not set up for that.
So if I stand my ground and say, look, you know, you're going to put me in that crap job. This is my job. And that guy's going to stand there and say what to me?
Oh, my God.
That you got to stay? You got to go where I put
No, you know what that guy or that lady's going to say to you?
Yeah.
Listen, this is how we're going to do this. I'm going to tell you again to go over there. And they usually get curt with you. I'm giving you a direct order. Now, I'm giving you a direct order to do what I just asked you to do. And if you don't, they're going to call their MDO. The MDO is going to come over, and they're going to put you out of the building on what we call emergency placement, which is so wrong. Just because you fail to follow instructions doesn't mean you're harmful to anybody, but that's what's going to happen. So all that, stand my ground.
So in a place, okay, let me ask you this. Okay.
I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
So,
that was funny.
Let me just ask you this, though. So, is this happening not every day, every tour?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes.
Every day, somebody comes to work what they normally think they're doing, and somebody's going to say, no, you're going over there right now.
Yes.
And they should have really done what again? Called the mail handler list, overtime list?
No, okay. We're talking different situations. Oh, but, yes, there are people who go through that on a regular basis. So,
I mean, are there people actually that would say that, like what I just said that? That's a crap job. I want to stay where I am. Would they really?
Yes.
Are there people like that?
And I think they're home. And one of those cases that we're working on, if we go down the names, you'll see some names in there. But so I'm just saying, I appreciate the fact that you don't work there and don't know, but let me just clear something up real fast, okay? While that might have been interesting, if you are a postal employee, as wrong as it may seem, when you receive that shenanigans with them crazy-ass instructions from your supervisor, all I ask you to do is assess two things. Am I going to get hurt from doing this? Is this a safety violation? If both of those answers are no, then go ahead and do what it is that supervisor asked you to do. And because they're asking you, if you have to contemplate, is it safety? Should I do it? That means you probably don't want to do it. So you go over there with that same level of tenacity and go ahead and get that job done. So, you know, we talked about a couple of things here.
Well, can we go back to that question or the subject matter about getting a call to request you coming in from clerks? What's the big old deal?
The deal is clerks are never in a position to supervise, guide, or direct mail handlers. There have been arbitration decisions made on that. So they can fix it up any way they want to, but I know that to be a fact.
Well, let me ask you this. Why? Why is it the big deal?
Because
somebody else calls you. Who cares who calls you?
Because that's what we call. That's why we have unions. That's why we have contracts. If it was that menial, then it wouldn't matter if I'm at work and a clerk's at work and they needed something done, they just said, hey, clerk, go do it. I mean, it is the same thing. That's something that my craft should take care of as mail handlers. And when a clerk tries to do anything that involves leadership, guidance, direction to mail handlers, wrong answer. That's contract. Does it make sense? Well, I would imagine it does. If you're a clerk in the office, they like to say, I'm following the supervisor's directions. That don't work, folks. That don't work. That clerk should never be calling you. But now let's keep it 100 for a second. If you're not working overtime and that clerk calls you, I mean, I get why you're going to say, you know, I can stand on my principles and miss this overtime opportunity. I say, yes, do it. Stand on your principles. If you miss enough overtime opportunities, and don't get me wrong, you got to make a strong decision for yourself. They'll do it properly. That's all I'm saying. They'll do it correctly. And that means either your supervisor, a group leader, or some other mail handler will call you. Why? That's contract. I didn't write that. But it's contract, and let's go by it. Let's adhere to it.
So what should have they done?
They should have done is you set your operation up that you plan and you schedule. Now, stay with me just for a second. This is what they should have did. They should have told that mail handler on Monday that you have overtime on Tuesday. There is no reason except pure inefficiency or ineffective management that requires a clerk to call a mail handler every day. You mean supervisors can't forecast the next day? That's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. And again, that's pathetic if postal management don't know on Monday what kind of staffing they're going to need on Tuesday. Now, let me tell you, there are anomalies. There are situations that happen, but pretty much they can project their mail volume. They know what's coming in. They know what magazines are coming in. They know, based on historical data, what the next day is going to bring. They also know from looking at the condition of their building right now. So for them to get that lazy or lackadaisical in their managerial responsibilities and just let you leave, and now that clerk calls you, real quick, let me give you the trickle down. If you leave work today knowing you have to report 4 hours early tomorrow, maybe you don't stop by the club and shoot pool as long as you're going to shoot pool. Maybe you might not catch the late movie because you're thinking, I got time to get up in the morning. You see, if postal management plans properly, it prepares you to come to work and be more efficient at what you do.
And that's...
Guess what?
And that's what they should do.
That's exactly what they should do. But they won't do it. They act like they can't do it.
And that's just part of the problem. Like, you know, people are getting called in the middle of the night or later. And
sometimes people are already at work and they still have the clerks calling. But, you know, that's, again, that started because somebody was sleeping at the wheel when Columbus, Ohio started that. Looked at it as, oh, no harm, no foul. They're tour office people. That doesn't matter. And that's no disrespect to the clerk. It's just not for you to do. Now, don't get me wrong. Just like we talked about earlier when you said, just tell them, no, you're not going to do it. Now, that clerk could do the same thing. Hey, listen, boss, you're asking me to call mail handlers. That's not part of my job. But they're not going to do that. What they're going to do is follow that other rule I told you about. Because I told you to do it, you have to do it. And after having that conversation so many times, now when the MBO walks in and tells that clerk to call these mail handlers, it's just automatic. There's no need in having that this is not my job conversation. Right. You've let me know for the past 15 years that you don't care about that. So that now, in my mind, becomes part of my job.
Well, hey, now, Kenny, I'm going to let you continue on with your show because I know I kind of interrupted you today because I really had those questions.
I really appreciate you coming on the show today. In fact, we're going to close it because I hope during this past 22 minutes, I was able to share with you a little enlightenment on what it means to cross crafts, why we must protect jobs that's in our craft, And if that violation happens, we must be vigilant in filing grievances. Once a grievance is filed, again, it is always my understanding that the persons paid for crossing craft grievances are overtime desireless personnel only, because if they require another craft to come in and do additional mail handling work, that would have resulted in overtime, and the overtime desireless is the only group of mail handlers that is contractually or is has overtime being offered to that group first as part of the contract. So, listen, let's have a good day, and we'll talk later in the week. Maybe Jane will stop by, and we'll talk about scheduling and things of that nature.
Okay.